your daily lives of what it means to be a living sanctuary. That your body was created by God. Your body is to be a living sanctuary. Everywhere you go, not just on Sunday morning when you get fixed up for church, not when you gather with church friends, but everywhere you go, your body, your life, your testimony is to be the perfect example of Jesus Christ as a living sanctuary. Not that you have been made perfect, but that you are able to live that life of perfection through the bloodshed of Jesus Christ. Today's message is entitled, A Living Sacrifice. And how many of you sitting here today have made sacrifices in your life for family, for friend, or a co-worker, or maybe just for self? I hope that most of us could raise our hands and say that we have made that sacrifice somehow, some way. But is it a living sacrifice for Christ? Making sacrifice for family and friends is great, but making sacrifice for Christ is what we should strive for. And we're going to talk in some detail today about the importance of a living sacrifice, meaning that it's something that is to be ongoing, that it's something that is going to stick with you day in and day out until Christ calls you home. Always a work in progress, always learning new ways to serve Christ, always learning new ways to walk the walk and talk the talk and be a living sacrifice. Our scripture today is from Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And if you would stand and read with me or follow along and read with me, please. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to read that last part again. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, meaning an ongoing renewal of your mind daily, not just one time, a constant renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You may be seated, and may God add a blessing to the remainder of this service. It says, and perfect will of God, not perfect will of self, not perfect will of mom, not perfect will of dad, husband, wife, children, not the world, but the perfect will of God. That's important. The entire chapter of Romans 12, it inaugurates an extensive belief, an extensive section of practical importance of what it takes to live a Christian life. And within these two verses that we've just looked at together today, you should be able to marvel, I should be able to marvel over the concise insight that Paul has given us within these two verses, and that our reasonable service or our logical ministry as believers in Christ is presented right before these two verses and what we are to do. How we are to present ourselves a living sacrifice to no other than God Almighty. It is to be a devotion of your life, yourself to God. That's all that matters. It's your Christian walk. It is not my walk for you. It is not your walk for me. It is your Christian walk. It is you who have to make the choice to be a living sacrifice, remembering living, meaning that ongoing. If something is still alive, it is not dead, and that means it continues to thrive, it continues to prosper. So you, while you're here on this earth, you're to continue to prosper, to be a living, continual sacrifice for Jesus Christ until He calls you home. The very first verse that we read together, Paul uses the word beseech. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Within this verse, it's a paradigm of how you and I are to exhort God Almighty. And how we are to have a true desire, a true dedication to give God what He deserves. Aren't you glad that God chose fit not to give you and I what we deserve? We don't deserve the goodness of His love. We don't deserve to be a living sacrifice. But it is through God Almighty and His grace, His love, and His mercy that we have this glorious opportunity daily. You have this opportunity daily to be a living sacrifice for Christ. Not dormant. We're going into the fall and the winter season when things become dormant. Our Christian life should never go into those types of seasons of dormancy. We should always be ready to be that living sacrifice, thriving in all environments because of the power of God. Paul says, beseech. He's begging, he's pleading, he's imploring. And you think for one to beg or to plead, they may be giving up their strong persona, I guess I'd say. And Paul was a weak man, but Paul at the same time was a very spiritually strong man. But he didn't care what others thought of him. All he cared about was being a living sacrifice and serving Jesus Christ and not worrying about the outside world. And so therefore he beseeched, he pleaded to those he was speaking to. He was begging them to understand, to come to the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. I like the word implore. Implore is a synonym of beseech. And that's something that's very important for us, as we are to implore one another. It is my job, it is my duty that God has called me to implore you to dig deeper into God's Word, to become a living sacrifice, to not have any regrets. Because think about this. You don't know when your time is going to end, and it may be a time where you may literally end on a deathbed, or you may end in the blink of an eye, but you don't want to be found laying on that deathbed looking back over the counts of your life and think about how many opportunities where you failed Him to be a living sacrifice because everything else in life was more important than God. But I'm afraid many of us are going to be found that way. There's going to be things in my own life that I put before God that I should not have. But how many times do we see it in our lives that We like the idea of a living sacrifice. We love the mindset of what it takes to give it all to Christ. But we don't carry it out. You've got to think it, you've got to believe it, and you have to live it. We know that God's mercies will never fail us. His faithfulness will never fail us. And God Himself is giving Paul, or gave Paul, the words of what it means to be a living sacrifice, to be holy, to be acceptable to God. And we should have that desire daily, for He alone has made us worthy. He alone has made you worthy. I truly feel that God's intentions when He created man was that He wanted us to be able to experience and to be able to exhort His righteousness daily, to experience it, that life experience. And many of you, if you're like me, I can read and learn some from reading, but hands-on learning to me is best. And you may be the opposite. But God wants you to be able to experience hands-on blessings. And if you're not willing to let go and to let God have His way, how will you be able to experience His goodness? It may mean letting go of something that you just can't let go of because you feel that you can't be separated from it, because you feel it may be something you can't live without. But I'm telling you today that you can live without, but the one thing you can't live without is God. If you do not know Him, you will live without. You will be separated from Him for life eternal. During Paul's age, he lived during a time frame where the churches, well, really all of society, was very sensual. Their desires was the pursuits of pleasure and also rebellion. Now this was in Paul's day, but this is also 2018. We live in a sensual nation, a sensual world where we seek pleasures in things other than God and God's Word or our spouse in the way that God had intended it. We seek sensual pleasures elsewhere because of flesh, because of sin, because of Satan. in that word rebellion. No matter how young or old you may be, you still can rebel. And when you do things of the world, and when you do things that do not align with God, you're rebelling, whether you want to realize it or not. You're rebelling towards God. And Paul knew that this was going on within his community, within his church, within the people that was around him. And he wanted to teach them that the Lord must be prevalent in their lives daily, in everything that they do. So in response, he wrote these letters urging the Christians not to follow in the ways of man, not to follow in the ways of sinful lusts and desires. And I think that's why God gave him the ability to write verse 2, as he said, do not be conformed to this world. And it's so very easy to be conformed to this world. It's easy. He says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the only way that you can ultimately renew your mind is through the renewing of your life with God, your relationship with Him. Not finding that happy place, not finding that zen, that positive place in your life, or those positive thoughts. And I'm going to be honest, this has nothing to do with today's message, but it just popped into my mind. I cannot stand to read on Facebook or on Twitter or hear people say, I'm sending positive vibes your way. That rubs me the wrong way so badly. And I hope I don't ever hear any of y'all say that, because that's not what Christians do. We don't send positive vibes. We pray. We teach the importance of the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit is supposed to be our happy place, our happy thoughts. That's important to realize that you come from God's holy and infallible word, that you come from the leading of the Holy Spirit, not a Zen master. But a question may be posed today, even for myself, is how are we truly to be a living sacrifice? What are we really supposed to do? How can we become a living sacrifice? And Paul tells us very simply. In the very first verse, he says, you are to present your body to God, not to anyone else, but to present your body and all that is within it. Present it to God. Your total being, your mind, your will, your physical body, your personality, and your emotions. And you know, for one who has not presented their body to God, their personality or their emotions may not be where God needs it to be. And truth be known, it's not going to be. And so that's why it's important that you rely on God to give you that smile each day. That you rely on God to put you in that happy mindset, that train of thought. That is the joy of God that resides in your heart. And you're able to present yourself in this way. And then when you do this, you can turn everything over to your Heavenly Father. James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God. But it doesn't stop there. It says submit to God, but then it goes on to say resist the devil. And when you resist the devil, meaning resist sin, it will flee from you. That's important. That's how you are able to maintain your presentation to God daily. That's how you're able to continually be a living sacrifice, because you are able to submit to God, meaning total submission, not partial submission, but total submission to God. And then when you do that, He will give you the power to allow the devil to flee from you, to allow those sinful desires to flee from you. Submitting, or bow to, or give in. Now, give in is a word that we don't like to use. Who likes to truly give in? Nobody. When you're arguing with a friend, a family member, a husband or a wife, do you ever really want to just give in and admit that they were right or you were wrong? No, we don't want to do that. It shows a sign of weakness. But I encourage you to give in. I encourage you to bow down. I encourage you to submit to God, because it is a sign of weakness for you and for me. Because when we are weak, what does He do? He makes us strong. And so submit to Him. Allow Him to build you up. It's not a sign of less manhood for you men who may not be fully willing to submit to God. That is the test of true manhood. When you're able to realize that you need help from God Almighty. And that's what He wants to see from you, and that's what He wants to see from all of us. If we're able to do this, if we're able to submit ourselves to the Lord, it requires definite decision, specific decision to give Him control, daily commitment, so that you will remain under His authority in all that you do. The only way that you can resist the devil is by submitting and drawing nigh to God. And you have to draw near to him in all that you do. We already know that ultimately Satan has been defeated. Satan knows that he has been defeated. But he is constantly seeking those whom he can devour. Even in this very room today, he knows your weakness. He knows what it takes to get your mind off of what you need to be focusing on right now. God's words, not my words, God's words. He knows what you have to do when you leave from church. He knows that some of you are already sitting here planning what you're going to eat for lunch. And he wants to break you down. He wants to distract you. He doesn't want you thinking about being a living sacrifice. He doesn't want you sacrificing yourself for God's work. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Think about that. There's nothing that you can be tempted by that God cannot deliver you from. You have to make the choice. Are you going to cave into the temptation? Are you going to remind yourself that you're to be a living sacrifice for God and walk away? Get behind thee, Satan. That's what you have to choose to do. But here's a question that I want to ask you. And no matter what the temptation may be, you know, obviously a lot of times when we think of sin and we think of temptations and those things, our minds automatically go to some of the most morally wrong things in the world. But your temptation could be something very small. But I want you to think about that for a moment. Are there temptations in your life? Are there things that tempt you that you just cannot stray away from, no matter what you do? And the answer for probably most of us is yes. But remember, you can't do it on your own. If you truly want to escape from the temptation, you've got to rely on God. No one else. You've got to want to give it up. You have to live through Jesus' sacrifice and then experience your own sacrifices. And I think the downfall to that is a lot of us want to live through Jesus' sacrifice of what he has already done for you, and then that's it. We know that we've been saved. We know that it's through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that we're good, that we don't have to worry about dying and going to hell because we believe. But then the sacrifice stops there. We don't go any farther. We don't do anything else to further our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not what he wants. That was not God's intentions. God's intentions, remember, is he wants you to be able to experience. He wants you to be able to exhort his righteousness and his blessing. So how can I become a living sacrifice? The Christian life in itself is built around the concept of sacrifice. Think about it. The ultimate sacrifice was given so that we could experience life brand new. Jesus left the perfection of heaven to dwell among sinful people. And he did this so that you, so that I, so that man, so that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord could be saved, could be reconciled with God. He offered up his life for our sake to make payment for our sins. Not his sins, but our sins. And when we accept this, he brings us unto his family. He doesn't ask any questions. You don't have to fill out a survey, a questionnaire, a checklist of do you qualify. The thing that qualifies you is Jesus Christ. He is your qualifier. And then all you do is believe in him and become that living sacrifice that Paul here has alluded to. As believers, you and I are to follow his example. Just as Paul called it a living sacrifice, it is to be ongoing. It is to be repeated daily. Every day you are to want to be a living sacrifice for Christ. Romans 6:4 reads, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. That in itself should give you an inspiration, a desire to be a living sacrifice. He has given you newness of life. He has literally snatched you out of the gates of hell, the pit of hell. through his sacrifice of his only begotten Son. We are alive from the dead. And then, you know, through the Old Testament ways and up until Jesus' death, the animals were brought in and they were sacrificed. We know that once the animal's life was taken, that animal was not coming back. That animal's life was over. And Jesus Christ came into the picture. And the old hymnal song goes, Jesus paid it all. We don't have to do anything else but recognize that. And then live that. There's no bringing of animals to the altar. There's no scheduling of once a year of meeting with the priest, the high priest, and giving your sins unto him and letting him make atonement for you. You can do that everywhere you go today, anytime, any place, giving your life, your all to Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13, 15, and 16 reads, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Continually. Always, as your heart continually beats for you today, as you continually to breathe in and out, may you offer a sacrifice of praise to God. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. These verses that I just shared with you, Hebrews 13, 15, and 16, give us great awareness how you and I can fulfill the role of being a living sacrifice. I asked at the beginning of the sermon, do you consider yourself a living sanctuary? But do you consider yourself a living sacrifice? Do you live a life that would show that you are continually being a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ? And what that means is that you're continually living and you're continually showing other people that you hold fast to your faith no matter what comes your way. It is through sacrificial praise that we exude the greatness of God. And I love how it says in verse 16, but don't forget to do good, to do what is right, to do what is just, and to share the gospel. Because it is through the sharing of the gospel and it is through the living sacrifice that God himself will be well pleased with you. Once we realize that these efforts bring joy unto God's heart, into his heart, I think that it should change your mindset. That when you feel that you are doing things for Christ, don't you feel like sometimes you're kind of on cloud nine, as we say? That you just feel so good because you know that you're doing what is right and just for God, no matter if anybody else knows what you've done or not. That's how it should be every day. As a born-again believer in Christ, knowing that you will not have to face Satan himself and dwell with him in the pits of hell, you should be walking on cloud nine every day. You should have that euphoria about you every day, knowing that you are a sinner who has been saved by grace. The sacrifice of Jesus covered the sins of all people once and for all. And Jesus' death and resurrection are why we can have life eternal. Is why there is no need to have a sacrificing of animals. Why there is no need to schedule an appointment to meet with the priest. You can schedule an appointment and meet with the great high priest anytime you want. Right now, when you leave from here, when you wake up in the morning, before you go to bed, anytime. His appointment book is always open. Sacrifice your life. We are given opportunities every day to sacrifice our own wants and needs for the furthering of God's kingdom. Every day that you walk the face of this earth, you've been given an opportunity. If you were to stop at the end of the day and look back over the course of your day and reflect on the opportunities that presented themselves and where you did or maybe did not take advantage of, I imagine that we would find that we missed many countless opportunities to preach the word of Christ to someone. Jesus' path to the cross ultimately marked his selfishness. His selflessness, rather, I'm sorry. And it gave us the perfect example of what it means to give it all. This was his way of life to which his followers were called, but the way that you, too, have been called. You know, a lot of times we read the Bible and and we say that some of that applied to the days of old, to the New Testament believer there as the disciples were walking the face of the earth. We think that some of that stuff applied to them, but it applies to you and me today more so. And we cannot give up. We cannot lose hope. We have to understand that all that we do has to be for Christ and no one else. Life is full of options. We have many options within our lives each day. Many decisions we make each and every day. You either opt to serve God daily, or you opt to serve self daily, or you opt to serve family daily, or you opt to serve the world daily. It should always be God first. And when we don't put God first, we're not doing what's right. We're not doing what's just. We're setting the wrong example for our family. We're setting the wrong example for our church family, our community. And in return, even for ourselves, we have to live for Jesus. That's what He wants. Many decisions involve a choice between following God, God's way is the only way, or following your own. I'm going to use a word that's very important today, and this word is mature. A maturing Christian. Young or old, do you mature in your faith daily? Do you increasingly make sacrifices for Christ daily? As a maturing Christian, this is something you should do. We should see more and more with each passing day that there's more that we can do for Christ versus serving self. A life of godliness is characterized by a heart and mind fixed toward the things of God. That is a mind of godliness. And then a life of ungodliness is characterized by a heart fixed toward the things of Satan himself. As we've been taught at a very early age in life, if we study God's Word, there is no in-between. There's no gray area with God. It's black and it's white. You're either living a godly life, or you're living an ungodly life. You have to decide what life you're living. Are you being a living sacrifice? We know that we will live imperfectly. Every day I fail Him. Every day I fail Amanda. Every day I fail Robert, Michael, and Brody. Every day. We've got to understand and know that we cannot go on failing Christ. If we allow Him to be Lord of all, we bow down to Him. If we submit ourselves to Him and give Him what is due, He will always be there to lift us up. I encourage you to be a living sacrifice. Obey His will. Seek to please Him in all that you do. Don't be scared to obey His will. If you're scared, you lack faith. You cannot be scared. You cannot use "I'm scared" as an excuse if you believe in God Almighty. Because you're saying that you don't think God will help you or see you through whatever it is you've got to do. You cannot lack that faith. Turn to Romans 3:25 for me, please. Romans 3:25. Just as I have many favorite hymns or songs, this verse here is one of my favorites. This is why you should want to be a living sacrifice, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through the faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Jesus Christ is the propitiator. your past sins, your present sins, your future sins, God is the forbearer of. And he sent his son for that very reason. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. The least we can do is be a living, continual sacrifice for Christ while we're here on earth. So I implore you, I beseech you, to commit to becoming more like Jesus. It's okay to admit that you fail at things in life. It's okay to admit that there's things in your life that needs work. That's okay. Come unto him, all who are laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus gave his life's blood for all mankind. What a Savior he is. Do you consider yourself to be a living sacrifice? Are there more things in your life that you can work on daily to be a living sacrifice? The answer is going to be yes, but you've got to recognize it, and you've got to submit unto him. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. God, I always thank you for the many blessings that you give us each and every day of our lives, God. And Father, I pray today that there be one individual sitting in this sanctuary, God, who has not fully dedicated their lives to being that true and living sacrifice for you, God. May today be the day that you allow them to be a living sanctuary for you, Father. In your glorious name I pray. Amen.